Welcome again. This is Margaret, and now I am officially starting the call. So welcome, everyone, to our Tapathon. And I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces on my board here, familiar names, I mean, from some phone numbers where I can actually see who it is. And, of course, a lot of phone numbers come in anonymous, but I can see some of you people. And there's a ton of people on the webcast. So we are going to jump right in and get started. If you have questions, you can write them in on the Q&A line. We do have a lot of questions here already, which makes it tricky to, it makes it tricky for us to sort of keep up sometimes, and we really just do our best. You know, I always say to people, I wish you this issue someday where you have hundreds of people on a Tapathon, and they're sending in tons of good questions, and you're like, I don't have time to get to all these questions. Because it's definitely something to manage. Okay, so I'm also going to welcome Miss Kimberly Francano to the call. Kimberly is one of my right-hand women. She is, with me all the time in everything I do. And when you go to the events, you'll see Kimberly there with me at the event, and just she's everywhere. She's doing everything. And she knows this material inside and out, and she supports Kathy Hamilton as another one of my 7 levels coaches. So part of the 7 levels, when people invest and step in, is you get into our support group where you get support because it's pretty intense work. So thank you, Kimberly, for being here with us.
It's a thrill. Yes, it's a thrill. I'm so excited for all of you, as this is going to be an amazing, amazing few hours here. You know,
yeah.
Margaret is so generous, and make sure you don't get frustrated. Just put your questions in, and we'll do our best to get to them. Know that whatever we do is going to be perfect for you.
Yes, we will do our best. And I'm just looking at some questions right off the top, because I just mentioned the 7 levels program, which has been the theme of all the videos I've sent out around the chakras. And Dr. Pat Buchanan says, will you be previewing the schedule for the live calls? What happens with the 7 levels is when you take a step into the 7 levels program, you get a massive amount of amazing transformational material, and we find it's best for you to be supported by me through that process. So it comes with 5 live Q&A calls, and yes, they start this Friday. So starting this Friday, that's why we are closing the cart and closing the sales to this product. It's not available all the time like this with live calls at this special price. I mean, you can buy it on my website, but it's probably almost twice as much in general than the special price we offer, and it doesn't come with the live calls like we are doing right now. That only happens once or twice a year. So this Friday, there will be the first live Q&A call, and then there will be 4 more, 5 total. They will be mostly on Fridays at noon, although we have to have 1 off week because of my travel schedule or something. So that's the deal. The Q&A calls start this Friday. So we are trying to get people who want to jump in ready to go so that you can be on that live Q&A call and be like, help, and we can answer more of your questions. Okay. So let's see, where should we start? Someone said, how long will this event take? We usually go about 2 hours. I mean, it is a Tapathon. I've heard people do. I've done 3 hours before. I think I've done 4 hours. A couple years ago, we did 4 hours, and I cannot do that today, but we will at least go 2 hours. Okay, and so is my time, someone said, is my time Eastern time? I don't know what, I think in Ibiza, she's coming calling, or from Ibiza, Spain. I don't know if you're on Eastern time, she says, but I don't really know the answer to that. You need to go and Google that. Okay, and so I'm just looking at one of these questions from Johanna in Boston. Hey, not too far away from me right now. Let's see, how do you propose to undo negative belief systems on money is scarce? It doesn't grow on trees. Okay, and so this is what's weird about tapping. It is not an affirmation-based tool, although when you use affirmations with it, it's really powerful. It starts with a clearing or releasing the negative, releasing the resistance, releasing our own inner skeptic, and even the inner skeptic that we're battling in other people. So the weird thing about belief systems is even when you feel like you don't want that belief system, you don't want it, you want nothing to do with that belief system, and you battle it, you might even argue with somebody with it, it triggers you and it resonates with you because somewhere in there it's in you as well, right? And so sometimes what we see in other people is the projection of our own little inner skeptic, or that part of us that's like, money is scarce. It doesn't grow on trees. It's true. And I'll prove it and see it in the world everywhere. And we're sort of in this inner battle. And so let's do it. Let's jump in, Kimberly. Let's do a quick round of tapping. And what I'm going to do, guys, is you guys saw the videos on tapping. I know not all of you have been a ton of exposed to tapping. But if you saw me in the videos tapping, you're just going to tap through any of the tapping points. I don't use any specific convention. If you like to tap in any order or any speed, you just go for it. Even if you're only tapping three or four of the basic tapping points that people use. You know, I usually do the eyebrow point and then side of the eye and then under the eye, under the nose, the chin point and then collarbone, under the arm and top of the head. But I'm just going to start throwing out tapping phrases and you guys just have to tap along with me. So I hope that's okay. It's like we all become instantly pros here. And some of you have watched my videos many, many times, and I know you're practically tapping pros at this point. So this is how we would deal with any negative belief system around money. Remember that whether you want it or not and you don't like the belief, as I said, it's a first chakra wiring, which means it's a basic, like, this is the way the world is, nervous system level wiring, which means the belief will actually trigger your nervous system. If you get exposed to people saying money is scarce, and seeing a reality that looks like money is scarce, even if you don't want to believe that, you'll feel anxiety in your system because first chakra means your basic set of wiring and nervous system is reacting to a truth that says, actually, believe what you want, Margaret. This is the way the world is. So you can try not to believe it, but money is scarce. So the way we shift that is by voicing it over and over and over. It sounds crazy, but we voice it over and over and over as if there's a part of us that's yelling it from the mountaintops that believes it's right, and then it becomes much easier. So let's jump in and do that. And we're not going to, I don't think we'll use an echo. You don't need to echo, Kim, because sometimes that gets a little messy for people if there's like a little delay. So I'm just going to jump in and start tapping, okay? So money is scarce. Money doesn't grow on trees. All of that stuff. I'm going to throw in a lot there. We're starting right at the first chakra. This is great. Okay, so just tapping through any of the points. The truth is money is scarce. I see it everywhere. It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. I see it. I have lived it. It's reality. I don't like it, but it's wired into me. And there's a part of me that believes it. Even if I consciously don't want to. Money is scarce, and that means fear. Money is scarce, and that means anxiety. Money is hard to make, and that means fear. Disappointment. Worry. Sometimes panic. Money is scarce. It's the truth. Money doesn't grow on trees. Actually, technically, it does. It's made of a fibrous material. It's papery. But money is scarce. There really isn't abundance, only for some people. And that triggers me. And what's happening in my nervous system, panic, fear, sadness, overwhelm, disappointment, frustration, that's been wired there, attached to this belief. Money is scarce. Money is scarce. Truth, truth, truth. And I'm just going to honor it for a second. As a belief system, something that's been written on a piece of paper and energetically handed down at least two generations back in my family, probably three generations back, maybe four or five or six generations back, there has been this little piece of paper floating through, handed to each generation with something randomly written on it. Money is scarce. And I'm just going to honor that. It's wired into my nervous system, and it's been wired in as a truth. And I challenge it. Money is scarce. No, it isn't. Money is hard to make. No, it isn't. Money disappears. It doesn't have to. Money doesn't love me. I will never be safe around money. Money is a result. Money is a result of my vibe, my intention, and my actions. Money is a result. Money is actually a result of my vibe, my intention, my focused action. Money is a result of my money management. Money is a bit of a science that I can learn more about. Money is scarce means money's a mystery. And maybe it's been a mystery to me. But I'm seeing it as a result. And so I'm letting my nervous system know that I am focused now on shifting this belief. Money is a result. It is what it is right now in my life, based on what I've been thinking and doing and my vibe. I have the result I have right now. I'm letting my nervous system know money is a result, and as I shift, money changes. Money is scarce. No, it's not. Money is hard to make. No, it isn't. That's a choice. Money disappears. It doesn't have to. I honor all these beliefs, and if I need to, I will tap and voice them every day until they wither on the vine and my brain is rewired. Money is everywhere. Money is flowing to me. Money reacts to my vibe. And my vibe is shifting to yes. Yes to money. Yes to money. Yes to money growing on trees. Yes to raking the money off the trees before it even falls to the ground. Yes to stretching blankets on the ground and catching the falling money. Okay, and take a breath. Whew. And so sometimes I know I kind of went a lot of different places, and it really doesn't have to be that complicated, but, you know, tapping is kind of my art and my science, and I get on a little tear with it, right? But the basic structure, because she said, how do you propose to undo negative beliefs, is to voice it like it's real, until it feels less interesting, and then take a breath, and then consciously say, I know this is a belief I have, and I'm challenging it. I'm letting my nervous system know. You can literally talk to your nervous system. I'm challenging this. And then that important question is, what would I rather believe? What feels, when I'm out of fear, what inherently, instinctively, soul connectedly feels more true to me? And at my core, what feels more true when I am not in fear and reaction is infinite possibility, that anything is possible, and that my focus, my intention, my vibe is what creates money. It is a result of all of those things. It's a result. And when I say intention, my intention to make money, which sometimes I never had. I was hoping it would show up, but I didn't have an intention around it. I was like, I'm going to help people and then see what happens. So having an intention and your action is a piece of creating a result around money. You know, money is a first chakra thing. It is physical. It does show up. She also said how to instill sensible money management. And it's really, you know, there's a tapping, around just saying, you know, if you get to that negative tapping and you say, well, what is it that I want? One day I realized, well, I would like to be like a $1 million money manager. I'm afraid of money management. I don't know anything about it. I'd never even read a book. I just froze and panicked around money. And so just saying I am open to becoming a sensible or empowered or $1 million money manager, and then saying to the universe, could you help me with that? Make that show up for me. Send me what I need to do that, and I will take action. But you do have to actually take the action. And it can be intimidated learning how to be a money manager. Okay, not able to hear me on the web. We don't have that. We haven't had that issue before. I don't see anyone else having that issue. Let's see. So just write in again if you're, you know, having an issue. I mean, it's typically the computer, so make sure your computer is like not muted and on and all that kind of good stuff. And just someone asking, where are we supposed to be tapping? You know, if you watch the videos or you have a pic, you Google a picture of the tapping points, just tapping any of the points. There's no magic to the order or the structure or the karate chop point. It doesn't matter how you use them. So at your own pace, at your own leisure, use the tapping points you like in the sort of the pace and the sequence that you like. Okay, you really don't need to tell me which. I don't need to tell you which points to use. Just use the one. and often there's a tapping convention that, you know, from the 80s when it was created, that you use the karate chop point and you say a specific structured sentence, which is, even though I have this blank, I love and accept myself. I don't tend to use that. I tend to just jump in. And actually, Gary Craig, who created Emotional Freedom Technique and the whole karate chop point, if you watched his training over a couple of years, he actually stopped using it too and pretty much did it this way, just dove in and started tapping. So I like to take away some of the, like, structure to it, because then people feel like they can't tap on their own if they can't, you know, listen to an audio, for example. You know, what I tell people to do in the seven levels is they'll be tapping along, and then they'll get triggered on something, and I'll say, you know what I do? I tap, pause the audio, and I go off on my own little tangent, tapping on my own about something that's coming up for me that I need to tap more on, and then I hit play, and I continue with the class. So don't be afraid to just, like, go off on a tangent and tap on your own. Okay, and so Kimberly, you can just jump in if you've got a question sort of queued up for me. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep on sort of reading through the questions we have on here. That was a good question.
Someone had a question about boom and bust and rejecting their parents. You know, I'm never going to be like that. And they've been through the program a few times, and mm-hmm. they kind of just presenting that.
Yeah, so the boom and bust is really a big issue for people. So here's what I want you to take away from the boom and bust, is that the boom means something. You are a powerful manifester. You can manifest like crazy, and then you can also continue to manifest like crazy lined up with a part of you that's in battle, that now brilliantly and unexpectedly and often with an amazing combination of situations and circumstances will get rid of that money as well, almost in just in an elegant, like amazing, like, wow, that is such a coincidence fashion, all of the money then disappears, right? And so the good news is that, yeah, you are an amazing manifester, and it is it comes down to when you have the boom and bust, which means you are, when you create money, there is a battle in it for you. There is a, I'll prove you. I'll prove you wrong. I'll prove that I can do it. I'll prove that I can make money and be different from you. There's a battle in it. Instead of you just creating for the joy of creating. It's really hard to let go of the battle when the way that though whoever you're in battle with in proving, you know, wrong by making the money, that you can do it that your way, that you are powerful, that you are smart enough, that you are good enough, whatever you're proving, it's really hard to let go of that battle when the there's never been an apology, there's never been a processing of the actual anger and sadness and hurt that was created in you by things that that person did, right? And so it's kind of like forgiving somebody who's not sorry and will never admit they even did anything wrong. How do you forgive that? It's like, you don't get it. So know that the core of the boom and bust cycle is doing a very specific tapping around anger, around past events and people that you vowed never to forgive or let off the hook, okay? In the Seven Levels program, this came up a lot on these Q&A calls that we've been doing for several years. And so what I did was I created a series of gold Q&A calls, and I said, I now know from doing millions of live Q&A calls with people working through this material, the really intense things that come up, really real things. And I created one of the Q&A calls called the Gold Series where we just go after this issue. And it's intense tapping that we do. It's like gold Q&A call number two, I'm pretty sure, right, Kimberly? Where we go into this kind of tapping to help people process it, because I'd have this conversation with people about this is the kind of tapping you need to do, and then I did it in a Q&A call. And I don't know that that's, unless we kind of look through the questions, I don't know that that's going to, you know, resonate with everybody, but we can certainly do some of that. Because I am seeing some other people saying, let's see, dealing with decades of fury and rage and the trigger, and let's see, someone else saying here, can you? I've left a thriving career in medicine to pursue my soul's calling and return to the arts and been living out the poor artist life since then, sort of being, it's not safe to be out there and being rejected and all these beliefs about, you know, the new thing, wanting sort of a paradigm shifting tapping script. So, you know, maybe we should, are you seeing any other questions, Kimberly, that would maybe resonate around, yes, you can definitely ask Seven Levels related questions, Matt, around people needing some intense tapping?
yeah,
I know that now that I say it, people are going to be like, yes!
So there's a creative artist with a second and third chakra block. Keeping her broken and invisible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The belief that nothing. So let's do it. Heck, it's a dang tapathon, people. So let's do it. Let's get into something. What you want to tune into is, you know, nothing big. Just the person that wounded you around your power the most. Right, Kimberly? Nothing big. Nothing big, just the biggest wound that you have, right? And so I want you to close your eyes and picture the person that literally wounded you around your power the most. So by that I mean they were the person that made you self-doubt. They were the person, even if it wasn't abusive, that maybe had that critical that made you afraid or your inner critic, like they created your inner critic, right? Or they were the first one to tell you you weren't good enough or you were a loser or you could never do it. You better do it our way or you'll be sorry. Or maybe when you stood out, they said, who do you think you are? Or maybe when you needed love, they ignored you to prove to you that you were wrong in wanting that. So I want you to just let that person pop up. Usually it comes up pretty quick. And even if they are like a little old grandma today and you love them, we are talking about the you that was wounded when you were a child. So be willing to do some, to have your day in court about something that happened in the past. Okay, so I want you to say out loud, you hurt me. And just see how that feels. You wronged me. You hurt me. On a scale of 1 to 10, what happens? Is that a 10 for you? Is it a 5? And even if it's only a 2, it's okay to do this tapping, right? And so before we jump in, these are some important things to get, right? And if you want to take a note on this, it's kind of a good note. You made me feel fill in the blank. You made me think, fill in the blank. So the things that you just wrote down are the things you go through life battling against. Okay, so say mine is, you know, I had a super rule keeper dad, right? Super smart. And so very critical, right? 3 years old, it's like, don't you know what a metal alloy is? And I'm like, I'm three, okay? So, and of course I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying. And so say the belief is that you made me think I'm not smart enough. You know, you made me feel ashamed, and the what was wrong with me is I'm not smart enough. So now I'm going to go through life in every situation, terrified that people will find out that I'm not smart enough, and battling with myself all the time. Am I smart enough or am I dummy? There's no middle. It's either or. Am I a loser or am I a winner? Am I smart enough or am I a dummy? Am I smart enough or am I a dummy? And then, of course, you manifest people who treat you like crap, and they're like, you're an idiot. And you're like, okay, I must be, right? So, and then you get mad, and then you battle those people. How dare you? I'm going to prove that I'm smart enough all the time being insecure. So whatever you wrote down on that paper becomes the thing that you battle your whole life, whether someone's saying it or it's just inside of you. That's your question. Am I a loser or am I a winner? Am I powerful or am I nothing? Am I important or am I a waste of space? Am I smart enough or am I an idiot? Am I strong or am I weak? So I want you to get really clear on that, because it kind of doesn't really go away. It will maintain in your life at some level of, this is always what I come up against. Okay? The other one I have is afraid. Am I a chicken or am I brave? Right? And in every situation, I ask myself that question, like, oh, my God, I'm such a chicken if people knew. But I also can have moments of courage. I can laugh about it now because I've done a lot of work on it. Doesn't seem as intense to me, but do you see what it creates? Okay? So I wanted you to see that before we get into the tapping, because that's a sentence that defines what you will battle in the world and what you will see in the world. And when it comes up through other people and situations, there'll be a part of you that says, so say, you know, say the next person or situation comes up that says, see, you are a loser, like making a ton of money and losing it. Now you're in a situation where you're like, see, I am a loser. I thought I was powerful and I'm not. Okay? When that situation happens in repeated patterns in your life, there's going to be a part of you that's going to come up and say, I knew this would happen. I knew it. Of course. I knew this was going to happen. See? This is what happens. And what it means is you're still manifesting and working through that battle. I don't care if it was from 2 or 3 or 5 years old, because the energy is still stuck there. So that's why I put it on a gold Q&A call. That's why I want to do it right now, because it's kind of some of the most powerful stuff you can do. Okay? So,
Margaret,
so everyone, yeah, go ahead.
So the person, Jennifer, she is asking, she brought up that I didn't mention to you that she does not feel bad about the tribe being poor, that she just rejects them. So she doesn't feel bad about it. She just rejects them. And she wanted to make sure you knew she doesn't feel bad about it.
She doesn't feel guilty that her tribe or her parents were poor?
Yeah, that she's rejecting them. So, basically, it's Jennifer. She
Wait,
has a...
I'm looking.
It's kind of down a bit.
Yep, okay. So I love them, but I don't care, feel bad that they were poor, never any money, have no loyalty. So it's basically a dismissal, right? It means that at a young age you sort of dismissed them in a way because there is a rejection there, right? There's something that they weren't enough for you. And, you know, so, you know, just be willing, even though there doesn't seem to be a lot of anger, it's like what – think about it this way. You didn't give me a role model of what it looks like, right? And so sometimes it's kind of like, what did your parents not give you, right? And so remember, you know, even as adults, when we don't want to hurt our parents, doing this tapping is for you. It's voicing your real emotion, the real things that you were disappointed and let down on from when you were a child. It's not going to hurt them today. And it's not disloyal to voice and move energy that exists in your lower self. Okay? Okay. So I'm just going to jump in and keep going with this little exercise. Thank you for that. I want you to picture this person who wounded you around your power the most. And just kind of see them there. And I want you to ask your mind, your unconscious mind, your imagination, just to kind of paint you the picture. Even if you don't remember it, just like you're watching on a movie screen, just paint you a picture, even if it's made up, that represents how they wounded you around their power. Like the worst that they did. Like it happening at its worst. Okay? Okay. And so tapping through the points, and for some people this is going to be a 2, and some people it's going to be a 10, and so we're just going to go with it, okay? It may not be as intense as I sound, but that's okay. So tapping through the points, you hurt me. You really hurt me. You hurt me, and you have no idea. You're clueless. You really hurt me. There's things you never gave me. And maybe there's things you did give me that tore my power into. You made me doubt myself. You made me afraid. And I'm still afraid. I'm still doubting myself. You tore me down. You criticized me. I hate what you did. You didn't give me the role model or show me what it looks like to have the life I want, to carry the power I want. You shut me down. You really hurt me, and you have no idea, and I'm still hurt, and I carry these wounds. I'm still battling this. I'm still paying the price. Every dang day, I'm still paying the price. I'm still hurt, insecure, afraid, battling, unsure, up and down. I'm still living the problem that you caused me. And I am not letting this go. Why should I? You don't even get it. I have to carry this. You don't even get it. And the truth is, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. Nobody understands what it's like for me. Nobody understands. I haven't even really let myself give myself compassion over this. I've never really even sat with it. And I've never had my day in court. I've never been validated. I've never got that documentary film where the whole world sees what you did and totally gets my side of it. Where a whole room full of people cry tears for me. I've never gotten that moment. And you just go on. Why should I let this go? I'm never letting this go. It would let you off the hook. And somewhere inside of me, I don't want to let you off the hook. I'm still mad about this. And I still can't just be me. I still work around you and the wounds you gave me. I can't be powerful because it will either disempower you or trigger you to attack me, or you'll point at me and say you did nothing wrong. If I'm as powerful as I want to be, and that includes having the money I want and the lifestyle I want, you will be let off the hook because you could point at me, even from beyond the grave, and say, see, you turned out fine. And I can't let that happen. I refuse to let this go. I refuse to let you off the hook. Okay, and take a deep breath. And while we're in this energy, what did you lose? What did you lose because of this? What did you lose? If an entire audience saw this in a documentary, would they cry or not? And what would they cry for? What would they cry for? What did that little girl or boy need or want or never get to have? Just start tapping again. Everything I lost. Everything I never got to have. The pain, the sadness, the loss. I never got to have. Everything I lost because of you. And I've heard of sacred contracts. And I know that this gave me gifts. But right now, it's still feel so unfair. Everything I lost, everything I'm still losing, I just honor it. Sadness for me. Sadness for me. Sadness in my system. Really old sadness. And I'm not making it up. This really happened. I honor the sadness. I get it. All this sadness, everything I lost, all this sadness, I totally honor it. All this sadness. Sadness for me. And if tears need to flow for myself, I will let them. I honor this energy and this sadness. Okay, and take a deep breath. And so, you know, before tapping, the prevailing wisdom, and still a lot of people in the personal development, you know, world have been teaching the same thing for 20, 30 years and are amazing teachers, and they have never really, they weren't exposed to tapping. They weren't brought up in tapping like I was. And without tapping, when you have an old situation like this, there is no way to move that except to just try to be positive about it and let it go. And it's always something that's an energy stuck there. And literally the energy is there because it's trying to honor you. It's trying to get you to voice it and honor it and cry those tears for yourself and have compassion for yourself. And so tapping is a game changer that lets you take this old lump of energy of anger and sadness that is totally justified for you to have. No, it's not justified for you to walk around ripping people's heads off because as a 47-year-old woman, you're still projecting it on everybody. No. But it is justified for you to have that energy from way back then that is sadness and frustration and the energy that moves up to say, that's not fair what you're doing to me. It's that was a justified reaction at the time, and the energy sticks. There's no way. Right? It's not like someone came up to you, an aunt or something, and said, oh my goodness, what happened to you wasn't right. Let me hug you. Let me make it okay. Let me take care of you. No. There was no processing that. You just held it. And so be okay, even though other modalities and approaches have not caught up to the fact that with tapping, we can do a really nice job honoring the past and moving the energy. Be willing to voice it, even if you have to do a tapping like this 3 or 4 more times, and anger spews out of you like a venomous volcano, and you end up punching a pillow and screaming and crying. Go in your car, scream at the top of your lungs. We do it, right, Kimberly? We have people doing that all the time. We're like, get in your car, go somewhere, or roll up the windows, park in the back of a parking lot, and, so you don't traumatize your children, and tap and scream and yell. And move the energy. When people do this, miracles happen. Miracles change in their life. Miracles change in their energy. Miracles change in their physical conditions. Cravings go away. Somebody asked about cravings. You think holding all this down doesn't create the stress response? Doesn't create the need to self-soothe? Right? I mean, Kimberly, you alone, you know, have had lots of people tap like this. You've probably done it yourself. It's miraculous when people rant and tap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a miracle. And sometimes it can feel kind of weird to get started. but I assure you, it's well worth allowing yourself to go there. Because if you think about a child when they are upset about something, you know, you gave them the red cup, but they really wanted the blue one, and seriously, they scream at the top of their lungs and stamp and freak mm-hmm. out. I mean, you need to get to that level of, like, just letting it flow out of you, the rage, the hurt, you know. And a lot of it has to do underneath all this is, like, you know, with you know, feeling like you weren't seen or you weren't loved in that moment. Like, all of a sudden you realized you might not be loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we've, you know, I've been working with this for 7 years, this energy, and working this through and putting it together that this thing of I'm not going to let this person off the hook by not having a bust and boom cycle in my life, because every time I bust and boom, I can point at them and say, see how you still hurt me. Making that connection, the cure to it is to really voice the hurt and the sadness. And let me say, you know, Kim is Reverend Kim. She is an ordained minister. She doesn't do this stuff lightly. So, and she is also a believer in really voicing the vitriol, the anger, the rage. And I'm like, man, you know, when she if she's on board with this, it's some good stuff, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, it's not like we're instilling. You know, this is something that you say sometimes, Margaret. It's like it's not like we are instilling these negative things into you. They're already there. They're flowing down there in muddy lower chakras where, you know, they're eating away with us and eating away at us, and they're forming the patterns that we've been reliving over and over and over. And so, you know, if you don't address them and allow that energy to move, you're really not experiencing the real truth of who you are. You know, scriptures say, as within, as is, you know, as without. And so the outer world that you're seeing, the things that you don't like or you want different, it's coming from within. And so when you look there, it takes a lot of courage to do this work.
It really does. And this is why I use the chakras. Because the chakras are a full system, the full lens of our human consciousness. And if we didn't have the chakra system, we would only tap on the things that we think of and that seem to be coming up in the moment. We wouldn't go digging around in these spaces like the first and second chakra, but that's where every issue is. Even Carolyn Mace, who is one of the, you know, the teacher of the chakras on the planet, she and Anadea Judith, really, and she says that, you know, 99% of people, 99% of those people's problems are first and second chakra, right? And so going into the second chakra where when a human being with a nervous system that is human, not a robot, okay? Not talking about robots, people. People have worked, I know a lot of people have worked their whole life to try to turn themselves into a robot and not have any of these messy emotions by tapping them away. Funnily, it's funny to me. But when you're human and you have a nervous system and you are wronged, there is a natural uprising of emotion called the fight or flight response that is designed to bring energy up to get you to make a change when something feels unfair or dangerous to you. And that sounds like anger, even rage, even murderous rage. It is an automatic and natural reaction that you will have to a situation that encroaches on you and feels unfair, right, to a certain degree. And so none of those emotions are bad. They are the other side of the light side of those emotions, which is standing up for ourselves, which is having the energy to speak our truth, which is passion, which is I really want something else, and I can tell because I'm really angry that I'm not getting it. So be willing to do what many people won't do, and that's why I use the chakras, and that's why this program is so intense, is because these are the most powerful emotions to move. I mean, I get interviewed by tapping people all the time, and they're like, what? I mean, you know, they're like, what? Like, whoa, that was some crazy stuff you said. And I'm like, I know. But that's what's in the chakras. And people will say, I learned the chakras and I never saw any of that. And I'm like, Sometimes we have blind spots about the things that are hardest to look at, right? And people say, I've been tapping to get rid of this stuff. And tapping is a clearing technique, but the way we look at things in this program, it's not about getting rid of your messy emotions like anger and frustration and murderous rage. It's about moving that energy, voicing it, honoring it, knowing it came up as a natural reaction from some time in your life. It's been stuck. And that on the other side of that emotion is a beautiful calling, which is usually clarity around something that you really do want and maybe don't even realize how badly you want it. And a bigger energy around, I can't let fear stop me anymore. I really want this. And that's where we move up into the third chakra. And so combining these two techniques to me is, you know, a lot of people know my background is engineering. And so I like to say that combining these techniques, the chakras and the tapping, literally is rocket science, quantum leap forward in tapping and in personal development work, where before we didn't have tapping, we kind of had to use, no disrespect to anybody on the planet, I love all of these people I've learned from over the years, but we kind of have had to use mental gymnastics to mind control our way around some of this stuff because there was no way to get rid of it. Now you can use this technique, move the energy. I promise you, if you do that kind of tapping, the gifts for you are huge. So let's all take another breath. And I want to finish that off. So I want you to close your eyes again. We kind of talked to process it a little bit because sometimes it's intense for people and they're like, why are we doing this? And I just want
Margaret,
you to take
I
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you, but I am. Asking, they can't think of anyone who has torn them down or criticized them as a child. But they had a traumatic experience losing a pet when they were five, and they blame themselves and God for it. And so they're asking, is it possible I've been holding a grudge against God all these years for allowing it to happen?
Hell yeah. Right? I mean, our argument eventually will come down to God. When we get past our parents, and so the good news is it's like, great, you don't have a lot of stuff that is, like, you don't have a lot of trauma there. It's really about, like, where do, you know, I'll say to people, it's like, okay, so that means usually you're pretty well functioning in life. When we had stuff in our childhood that was pretty stable and pretty steady and pretty supportive, right? It's like, I'm pretty well functioning in my life. It's like, well, where do you want to go from here? Is there something bigger that you want to do? And where do the sticking points come up? Okay. But in this scenario, yeah, you know, when we have even issues with our parents, often it comes down, and particularly with money as an adult, it'll often come down to an argument with God. And yes, a lightning bolt will not strike you, has not yet. In the 30 years people have been tapping, if you do that same vitriolic, angry tapping and you're voicing it at God, like, people will do the tapping about their parents and then they'll be like, well, now I'm just mad at God. Why did God put me in this family? Right? Why did I have to suffer? You know, when I look at money out there, why does God have the system rigged? Why do the best people have the least amount of money and all the, like, a ton of corrupt people have the most money and are rigging the system? Really, God? Really? And so be willing to do the same tapping, because the gift for you is going to be what it means is, I can never trust. Right? If God has let you down, you will make a vow to never trust. You'll make a vow to, on some level, never trust. And then there's that part of you that says, see, God doesn't care. And that means you have to manifest evidence all the time that matches that, and then be upset over it, like it's a repeating pattern, right? And so I would absolutely do that tapping round against God. And I call out, I'm like, all right, and I'm calling everybody out. And how about you, angels? Why aren't you helping me? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope I don't get hit by a lightning bolt. But when I do it and when I voice it, it's like have the belief on some level that God has big enough shoulders to handle you having a bit of a tantrum, okay? It is going to bring you incredible gifts around your belief, around your faith, around your connection to God beyond what you ever thought was possible, beyond, right? It's like you come so much more back to you. And often, you know, Kimberly, we often, have, I think we've talked about this before, the people who tend to be, it's like when you tend to be wired very spiritually, that you can have a wound like this, and it's like particularly painful to be disconnected from your spiritual connection because of something like this. And it often is the very person who's sort of so wired to be connected spiritually, like to have a spiritual relationship beyond something that I could possibly have, right? They're like a sublime spiritual person. And so having that disconnect is like way more painful for them than for someone else.
And it's like the last thing you would ever want to admit is that you're mad at God.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, people like us don't do that. Right?
And in our first chakra, what did your first chakra religion, all religions, 90% of religions are first chakra religion. So what did your religion teach you about God? Scary, mean, you will be punished, and if you're good, maybe you're safe, maybe not, right? That's what mine taught me. We were terrified while the nuns, you know, 5 years old, what could we have possibly done wrong, while the nuns screamed at us and accused us of doing things. Doesn't paint a very nice picture of God when they are supposed to be married to God, right? And then you had to go in the confessional and be terrified. I mean, you know, talking like kids literally wetting their pants in public, so afraid. And so think about, and it's very similar, a lot of different religions, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, it's like, what did your religion teach you about the nature of God and whether it God is loving or punishing or kind of a mix of both? I was like, can I have I was Catholic, but I was always like, how come it still seems like everything is from the First Testament? That Jesus guy seemed really nice that we talked about at Christmas time. What happened to him? Can he show up in our religion a little bit more? Oh, my Lord. So really think about, you know, the difficulty around having this argument with God based on some, like, literally almost like a child's view of God fear that we have. Most people, adults going to different religions every day, services, have literally a child's version of God. They're going because they're afraid of getting in trouble if they don't go, whether it's from the priest or the community or whatever. It's like, I got to check that box. And so, you know, really think about that and what's possible for you, you know. And if this is making sense or really affecting you, pick up a copy of Deepak Chopra's book. It's an older book. It's called How to Know God. And he talks about the 7 levels of spirituality. Sound familiar? Yeah, it's the chakras. The first chakra God, he just calls it level 1, level 2, but he's talking about the chakra system. You will recognize it. Really, really powerful book when you are sort of struggling with your spirituality, as many of us have since, you know, from whatever we learned as a child. So I don't know, anything you want to weigh in on that, Miss Zenz, or the minister here?
Well, yeah, and so also in this whole mix is the possibility that, I know for me it was like, okay, well, I grew up Catholic, but I wasn't, when I was first born, I was baptized Episcopalian, but my mom passed on and my dad remarried and my stepmother was Catholic. So when I became then Catholic, it was like, okay, but I'm not allowed to be friends with the Lutherans or the, you know, the Presbyterian people or, you know, those other, you know, God forbid the Jewish people because, you know, they weren't in my church, you know, so they were different. And so it really hurt me. Like, I didn't understand what would make me different than those other people. We're all in the same class. We go to the same school. We're trying to, you know, all pass the same test. And it was very confusing because I'm very loving, and so I didn't understand why I wasn't allowed to love those people too. And so there's a part of that as well. And then also in this to get to some of the comments, Margaret, just so we don't miss anything really cool here, is there's one thing, they have a vow not to be better or richer than their family.
Yeah.
Then there is let's see. Someone's asking, you know, about having this work being directed at young people to nip it in the bud.
you mean like getting this work to young people? Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing is that they haven't sort of lived enough. The name of the Deepak Chopra book is How to Know God. How to Know God. And I based my program, the Miracles program I created, on that program, tapping for the seven levels of miracles, actually. There's another seven levels program out there. You can find that on my website, but we're not talking about that. The problem with young people.
I'm sorry. And then someone else, too, is asking, you know, what do you suggest about clearing a battle with their mom? Would they have a fear of standing out?
And so let's jump into that kind of clearing. I'm going to finish the exercise, but then what we can talk about is how that would relate to somebody in your life today, because sometimes these people are still in our lives. Sometimes I've found that people who are really in that battle from childhood, strangely as adults, continue it with their actual parents. I'm like working with someone, and then I find out, like, you living with your parents? They're literally immersed still, like they're 12, in this battle with their parents on a daily basis. I mean, you know, sometimes parents have passed on. It doesn't matter. We're still in the battle. But I'll be like, what do you mean you live next door to your parents and have dinner with them every night? They treat you terribly. But sometimes they're in our life, and we have to actually have a way of working with them, and so we can do that as well. But awesome. And also that, you know, we get lots of people saying, love that tapping script. I went from a 10 to a 6. Should I do it over and over and rant until I'm a 1? Yeah, you should keep going, Terry. And someone said from Mount Laurel, that was awesome. I didn't think it applied to me, so I wasn't going to tap along. But as I did, the tears started rolling, and I became the little girl again who faced all those negative comments. Yeah, I always say, like, if you think that this doesn't apply to you, just try tapping through it. Alex says, yeah, anger at God. And then I am also angry at God for letting me be born into my psychotic family and have trouble trusting him, right? So when we had a really crazy family, it's like, really, God, why did you have to put me there? And I just want you to know, Alex, that you also want to be really attentive to how much grief you would have around, I never got to have, and I want you to think about what a child gets to have, a little toddler. Never mind safety and caring, but love and adoring, and parents who are like your parents you see today, like, look at our baby, it's the most amazing baby. Really process your sadness and loss around not only not even get to feel safe, like having a psychotic family, but all the way to the other end of the spectrum. Like, I didn't get this loving, adoring mother and father who told me I was the apple of their eye. Like, there's a lot of sadness in there usually to process, right? And so when you process that from the past, it will help shift the sort of, it's like we're still angry at God because we're still carrying all the pain. You know what I mean? When we process some of it, honor it, voice it, you voice it, you hear it, you cry those tears for yourself, it becomes easier to make a decision, and this is where we come to now, is to make a decision from a different perspective. Okay, in my life right now, I am all grown up. I am here. I am manifesting my reality. What do I want? Separate. from all of this stuff that has taken my energy and attention and recurring patterns. Same thing with the boom and bust people. When we voice some of that, we honor it. It's kind of fun to be in battle, even though it feels terrible. It's energy moving through our system. It's a lot of drama energy moving through our system when we're up and down. Here I am in this present moment. What do I want? What do I want to create now? Right? And that's where we come to a different, totally different question, and you'll start to get very different answers from the universe. You'll start to be attracted to very different things. Things will show up, right? And sometimes we find, you know, like I said, write that thing down because it's important. Alex said, you know, I have trouble trusting God. And sometimes what we find after we let go of that past is that we don't turn into this like, oh, I trust every day. It's like I realize, you know what, my life is going to, for the rest of my life, this is kind of going to be my thing. In every situation, I'm going to say, oh, man, I'm struggling with trusting. And I feel it, and I don't trust, and that's where I know I'm not trusting. That's where I know I shoot myself in the foot, and I'm going to work through this, and I'm going to see where I can step into faith. But that's going to be my thing, right? Or when we're a battler, a boom and bust person, it's like, okay, I've made all this money, and now I can feel this tension coming up, and I can feel myself going into battle, and I can feel myself anticipating people saying, oh, she must be lucky, and I'm going into battle. That's my thing. So what am I going to do here? What's my choice here? Do I want to go into battle or do I want to keep creating? Because this is my thing. I go into battle once I get successful. And so you kind of have a different level of intensity about it, but you keep your eye on it as like, this is something I have to work through. For me, it's still my thing, right? I will still question, am I smart enough? Or am I a dummy? Like at some level, when I start to question that in myself, like that's when I get stressed or whatever, that's where I go. As I get frustrated there. It's like, that's my thing. And trusting God. That's my other thing. Okay. So I want everyone to take another breath, close your eyes. I want you to picture again the person that hurt you the most. If it's a 6 or a 5, you definitely want to do some more tapping and ranting. Sometimes what happens is, it's a little calmer, but there's this thing. There's this piece where you're like, where someone could say, you should let that go. And you would say, yeah, but. And so I want you to see what that one thing is and be like, so if you were to say, you know what the worst thing of all was? Or the thing I'm still stuck on is. And sometimes it's a why question. It's like, why did you do it? But just see what it is. Or it's a particular event. Okay, so let's just tap. And everyone's tuning into their own event. But just tap. I could let some of this go. But it's this one thing I'm stuck on. I mean, seriously. Really? Did you have to? What were you thinking? This one thing, this situation, this aspect that I'm just stuck on. It's frustrating and it's confusing. I try to figure it out. I go over it and over it. And I'm just like, really? What was going on? It doesn't even make sense. That one thing. I'm just stuck on it. It was the worst. The worst thing. So hurtful. So idiotic. So unnecessary. Really, so unnecessary. And I'm stuck on it. And I feel the burning, justified anger. And the hurt that honors me. my justified outrage. I'd love to be done with this. It drains a lot of my energy. But I'm kind of stuck on this. It's so irritating. It didn't make sense. It was senseless. There was unconsciousness. Unconsciousness at work. Totally unconscious people. And I don't understand it, and I never will. I honor this peace. Maybe I have more tapping to do, but I'm just going to honor it. And I'm going to let my energy, the sadness, the frustration that's been in every cell of my body just move now, like steam rising off me, coming up and out of my field, my tissues, my bones, my nervous system, even my skin. Skin is so reactive to stress. I'm letting this come through my pores, through my energy body, and just lift off of me, out of my muscles, my nerves, my respiratory system, my digestive system, these systems that respond to chronic stress, all the systems of my body. Just giving my tissue, my cells, permission to unburden and release. I don't need to carry this. Oh, so tired of carrying all this. I get why I've been carrying it. Oh, I understand. But I want to let some of this go. Because it keeps me unconscious. It's keeping me unconscious. And there's been enough unconsciousness. The more I let this go, the more I create. The more I let this go, the more I can create. The more I let this go, the more I can focus my energy. The more I let this go, the more of my energy I have. The more I let this go, the more powerfully I can create. And that's the choice I make every day. And just breathe some of that out. Just breathe some of that out. So Nicola had a great moment. She said, so what? all this happened in the past, so what am I going to do now? And Catherine says, okay, forever this is going to be my thing, Margaret. Tapping will never get me to a one. I mean, it will. Here's the thing. Tapping on something like I don't trust can get you to a one, right? Or a zero. And you're like, oh, my God, I feel totally open and trusting. Here's the problem, Catherine. Then you decide with all that openness and all that energy, and you start to really you start asking and thinking, this is what I want, and moving in a direction. You start using your energy to manifest your life. And guess what happens? You start manifesting stuff, and stuff appears, and often it's bigger. And it's what you asked for. And you're like, holy crap, now I'm stepping into something, and I'm kind of fearful because it's bigger. It's different. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before. It's kind of like wanting to be in a relationship and then a relationship showing up and you're like, oh, my God, all my buttons are being pushed because now there's someone in front of me, right? I mean, my friend Stefan Gonick specializes in love and relationships, and it's like you can't get triggered until someone's standing in front of you. And so what I mean is that it'll be your thing is that when you step up to do something big or a challenge appears, that's when you'll see your thing. You go, oh, I feel it again. I don't trust. Okay? And then you tap again. That's what I have literally done for the, whatever, 6 or 7 years that I've been doing this since I left corporate America and decided I was going to, you know, go do something crazy. And so every single time, my first live event was 4 years ago. I'd never been on a stage ever. I didn't even know if people would show up. I tapped my way through it. It terrified me, right? Am I smart enough? People are going to think I'm an idiot. They're going to be like, look at her up there. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It triggered all my stuff. And I'm like, there it is. My I'm not smart enough coming up because I'm doing something very audacious and big, right? First time I got on TV with my book, it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to look like an idiot, right? And I literally don't trust. So that gets triggered when you go to step up out of your comfort zone. Okay, not everybody wants to step up out of their comfort zone, and that is completely fine, right? But situations happen, things happen, and, you know, that's where you're going to see your thing come up. Okay? Okay, and so Gilbert asks, let's see. Hi, Margaret. Brandy says, I love the rant. I quickly wrote a script, lots of bad words to make it really dynamic. I do. Kimberly and I'm going to throw you in the bus with me on this one. Kimberly and I recommend swearing, especially if you don't like to swear, because swear words energetically in your language are swear words because energetically they're triggering. And so because we have decided or in any given language that it's a swear word, she says bad words, because we've decided that energetically that sound is triggering, it actually moves more energy, right? And so to go on a rant and say really bad things that you normally wouldn't say will cause a more energetic reaction in you. So give it a try, people. Again, do not traumatize your children. No one can hear you, right?
Or pets. Or pets.
What is it?
Don't traumatize your pets either, so make sure.
Yeah, or your pets. Yeah, your pets don't want to see you, you know, crying and punching the pillow, you know, but you want to move it and know. And I think the other important part of this, Kimberly, and actually when Kimberly and I have like our rock stars in retreats and stuff, and we actually make them do this in person, one of the other things that happen when you rant, and we should really say this, right? Anita's saying, you know, the last possible process was powerful. I didn't realize how much anger and frustration I had held inside my being, humiliated, rendered powerless, and made to feel small. So good. Not good, but I'm glad it was a powerful process. So one of the things that happens when you rant and tap and then you breathe and you feel the sadness come out and then you cry and then you take that breath and you have a new perspective, sometimes the next day, and you go, okay, what do I want? Okay. One of the things that happens is sometimes for the first time in our lives, and this was true for me because we didn't do emotion in my family. It was like, oh, you know, you don't get upset. Or you certainly wouldn't show it openly. Like that would be like a failure, you know, that you let yourself be like emotional. So one of the things that you learn often for the very first time, is that you can move and voice and honor this kind of energy, and nobody got hurt, not even you. I'm going to say that again. Especially when it comes to anger and rage, and we're talking about tapping and ranting and swearing and all that stuff, you will see that you can move and voice and honor the energy of even murderous hatred and rage. And nobody got hurt, not even you. Because when we project it on people, obviously they get hurt. When we have these recurring patterns where we overlay and project it, and then we feel guilty because we lost it on somebody. But for most of the people that we work with in this personal development industry, they're not really the traumatizers. They are turning it on themselves, and all of that rage and all of that anger and all of that am I broken or am I powerful is turned on themselves. All of that holding back of our own anger, which means we can't set a boundary and we have to people please, all of that is hurting you. And so I want you to really notice that process was powerful, how you voiced some stuff that was really intense. And you might go punch a pillow and then tap and get even more out. And I want you to sit in that moment and go, wow, I'm going to walk out of my bedroom and nobody got hurt. And it's left me, so I'm not even getting hurt by it. We don't have models like that. We have seen anger hurt people, or that it's dangerous to feel anything, so hold it all inside, right? Or hide it. Or people being traumatized with criticism and anger and rage. We've never seen a model where that energy could be honored without hurting people. And then you'll have a new level of trust and confidence, because it's like I can start to trust myself. It's okay for me to be afraid or to be angry or to be hateful, even to my own kid, for example, or to my spouse or to my parents. And I can be in that energy, and then it passes. And I'm not a terrible person. The world didn't end. Nobody got hurt. I don't have to beat myself up for a year. That I can move and I can honor that energy as one of the things that will arise in me as circumstances happen in my life. And when I trust myself that I can voice it, that I can honor it, I can be more conscious about making choices around it. Right? It's like, that made me really angry, and I'm going to voice that. I'm going to honor that. I'm going to move it for myself before I go sit down with my three-year-old, for example. Right? A really great process. Okay, and so to answer the question, and if you were to close your eyes and picture that person now, often it's a lot, like it's hard to picture. It's fuzzy. If there's a person in your life that you are in a relationship with and you want to continue in that relationship, like it's a parent and they're old, or it's a family member and you kind of have to deal with them, obviously, we don't want you to stay in an abusive relationship, even if it's especially, you know, when it's with someone who's in your life that's abusive. But, you know, say you have someone that's just like frustrating and irritating and they're never going to change, but you love them and you sort of want to be in the relationship as much as you can. One of the most powerful things you can do is do this same tapping and ranting in present tense. Again, not with them in the room, but you picture them as they are today. So it's like, I'm just going to walk you through it quickly because you kind of know the structure now. You close your eyes, you picture them today doing the thing that drives you the craziest. Like, what do they do that's the worst of the worst? And this works on your 2-year-old child, your teenager, your spouse, anybody at all, okay? All the way to people on TV and your parents, okay? So You picture them kind of at their worst, and then it's kind of good to write it down. Like if I've got a client in front of me, we would, right, Kimberly, we would say, like, we would say describe them, and we would take some notes to help with the tapping, right? So if it's me, I actually make myself write the notes. It's like, so here's what you would write down, like, describe them. What do they look like? Because people will say their face is red, they look like a witch, they're all hunched over. Your mind will completely paint you a picture of the physiology and what are they doing, what are they saying. And you literally just keep writing down, they're saying this, and they're spitting, and they're angry, and they're crazy, and they're, you know, and they're so unconscious. And what would you say? What is your judgment? If you were being really honest and nasty, what would you say about someone like that? And then you write all that down because you really want to get to the judgment. And how does finally, how do you feel in your body seeing them like that? Because depending on it is, who it is, some people will feel like it's a boss. I feel small. I feel intimidated. I feel this. Or, you know, I feel disgusted or I feel sad. And then we can't set a boundary because we're like, I feel bad for them. Okay, now we do tapping on all of those words. And I always start this way. There he is or there she is. And then you just jump in, you know, yelling at me, screaming at me, losing it, whatever they're doing. And then you go into the judgment, and you say it this way. You say, and they're, you know, just an idiot, just an idiot. I mean, give me a break, just an idiot. And I totally, you use these words, and I totally judge you, and I'm totally right. I am right about this. You are an idiot, or whatever your judgment is, right? Voice it, and then switch to you. And I feel this, I feel that, I feel this, I feel that, I feel. Just keep tapping, and it's unbelievable what will change. So I think what, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I've heard, like, so many ridiculous stories of the other person suddenly changing. It doesn't make any sense. The next time they saw that person, they acted completely differently. Here's what I think happens is that you release from the field, if you will, between the two of you, all of this, your reaction, your pushback towards them, your judgment, which you're holding in, maybe behind a smile, but it is pushing out into the field. Whether or not you think you're holding it in and you're just saying to yourself, I judge you an idiot and I'm just going to smile at you. Oh, we do that, don't we? That is pushing out into the field, believe it or not. And people are reacting to it unconsciously, being defensive or being a bigger jerk or whatever. I think what happens is you dispel so much energy in the field. With your kids, when you feel guilty and it's all my fault and it's all my fault, you are pushing all of that into the field. And when you do this with a child and you voice the anger that you have at the child, which is a natural reaction in you when a child pushes your boundary because it's going to feel unfair, and then you hear all the other stuff that comes out of your mouth and the guilt and that, all of that that you are secretly guilty over and hiding and dealing with is right in the field between you and that child, and it becomes such a reaction wall for the child or your spouse or your sister or whoever. It's amazing. When you do this tapping and you do a good round on it and you close your eyes and you see the person again, they will look and appear different. Your mind will paint a different picture and you'll feel something different, okay? And if it's your boss, like, who cares? Now I just feel better and they don't bother me anymore. If it's somebody in your life, what you can do is say, okay, if I feel better, now I feel more. People usually say, God, I feel so compassionate now. Like, it looks like my boss is like 7 years old and having a dander. You know, no matter who it is, they'll feel compassion. Be like, he's just an idiot. Oh, my God, he doesn't know any better. Doesn't seem as important anymore. I don't feel afraid. I don't feel triggered. I just feel like, oh, Lord. And so if it's appropriate, you can say, okay, what do I want for this person? You know, how can I see them in their best? And sometimes the best you can do is just to say, I send them light. I choose to send them light. And, you know, if it's your child, you know, people like to really get into it and say, you know, I see her. And then you see their best qualities and you send them this beautiful light. And, oh, my Lord, will you be blown away how the other person changes. It is, it's bizarre, isn't it, Kimberly? I mean, it's bizarre how often. It's miraculous, really, is what it is. Literally, people will say to me, the other person changed, Margaret. And I'm like, I know, I didn't want to promise that because it sounds too weird, but I'm telling you, it happens every time. Right? Now, it doesn't mean that you, when someone is a super enforcer or a crazy drug addict or a destructive person who's been living a destructive life, it doesn't mean that you completely take them at their new word and let them back into your life. You know, you still use all of your other brains and all of your other chakras, but your dynamic will be very, very different. In a lot of cases, people find themselves more calmly setting a boundary out of love instead of saying yes out of fear to somebody. Saying yes to our kids out of guilt instead of giving them a boundary and mentoring out of love and what's best for them because we felt so guilty or whatever. Cannot give a child a boundary when you feel guilty. Can't give anyone a boundary when you feel guilty, actually. So this is a powerful, one of the most powerful things I teach people, I think. What do you think, Kimberly?
Yes, it's
pretty powerful.
There's thousands and thousands of people that use this Seven Levels program. I mean, and if you think, you know, this Tapathon is something amazing, I mean, this is just one part of what this program is about. And so, yeah, it's absolutely life-changing. I love this program, the Seven Levels of Wealth Manifestation. I refer to it all the time. I keep my workbook right out in my view at all times when I'm working. I always refer to it, and it's amazing.
It's amazing. And we've had people working for a couple, you know, over the years. It first started, I think it first came out 3 years ago. So there's people all over the globe that have worked through this program. It's pretty, and there's still people that have worked through it years ago that still actually contribute in the Seven Levels membership group in Facebook, which we find amazing. It's a really amazing community. So we have about like a half an hour to go, but you know, again, that if you really love this work and this kind of tapping, I dare say I'm the only one who does it this way. I have not found anyone who taps like me and uses the chakras, and it really is, you know, a labor of love. Like, it's my sacred work that I have put into this program, you know, based on the inspiration I had from the like basically almost like a sentence each, right, from the way Rhys Thomas teaches the chakras, his understanding of it, and the vows, and taking those cores and then creating this entire program. But what's happening is you have one more day to jump in because we're closing the cart tomorrow because everyone who has bought the program is going to be in a live class with me on Friday. Those classes are recorded, absolutely, so you get all the recordings. But we want you to have time to start working through the program, listening to the profile information, listening to the first chakra, so that you can come to that first call on Friday and really ask your questions and really get into it. And so we, you know, you have one day. It's you know, we close the cart tomorrow, the 13th at like midnight or something like that, to buy the program and jump in, and then we're going to be working together for 5 weeks. To support you so that you stay on track with the material. You don't put it on the shelf because you've got to get on the Q&A calls. It really makes people work through the program. We have the highest rate of anything I've ever seen of people buying something and using it. I mean, heck, I buy stuff and don't use it. I bought programs and not listen to them. But with this one, you've got the pressure in a good way that you're going to be at you're on the live call with me every week and you want to be on track. So that is why we are closing off the sales. And I hope that makes sense. I mean, it's still available on my website, not at the special price, and you wouldn't get the Q&A calls until they happen. And that being said, we really do invite all the people who've purchased in the past back to the live Q&A calls, right? So say you bought this in a month, you wouldn't get this, I think it's about double, and you might have to wait a year until we do live Q&A calls again. So, you know, we really encourage you to come and do this work with us. We would love you to do that. And, you know, my goodness, I can't believe how many people are on the phone and on the webcast. You people love tapping. It's crazy. So if you love tapping, you are going to have lots of tapping to do in this program, and it's really unlike anything. And you know, if any of you are coaches, you know, some of you are actually some of my Tapping Into Wealth coaches who wanted to really deepen their knowledge. But if you are coaches in general in any area, the teachings like this, walk through the seven levels, the seven chakras this way, you will learn more. You will have this amazing superpower of reading people it's like when you see this stuff in yourself and you process it through you, and then you go back, like Kimberly said, she'll go back to the workbook, which you can print if you get the digital one. If you buy physical, we ship you a nice borrow-around workbook. You can go back, read it through, process it differently, and you will literally be Superman with X-ray vision to see this stuff in other people. And it knowing particularly the lower chakras will make you a very, very powerful, like psychic-seeming coach. If you're a tapping person, it also gives you a really like a psychic ability around knowing what words to say in tapping, because you're kind of like, I know what this is, and you kind of go there with your tapping words. So it's real for me, it's a powerful resource. You work it through yourself, and whether you're a coach or a tapping person or not, it will change the way that you see other people in the world, because you take a massive step up in consciousness. You just do. You take a massive step up in consciousness. And even when you take a baby step up in consciousness, your personal power is different. You will have a different presence. You will have a different energy. People will see it. They will feel it. They will not. People who are unconscious, really unconscious, like nasty people, will veer away from you. It's really weird, because they unconsciously, like dangerous people, will unconsciously sense a sense of personal power in you, and they will veer away. Really interesting, we find in that, because taking a step up in consciousness, just like what we're doing in the program is opening up consciousness and pulling back pieces of power, focusing it, holding it. It's not draining out to these other things. We're consciously directing our power. You literally start carrying a palpably powerful field that people can feel, you know, and it's like really, really cool, because people will see it in you. They will mention it. They will be like, you're different. There's something about you. When you walk in a room, people will feel you, especially working around the lower chakras, because when you start to run more energy through your system, there is a word that comes up that will describe you in a bigger way. Even if you don't see it happening, you will carry a bigger charisma. You will carry a bigger charisma, even if it's in a quiet manner. When you walk in a room, people will feel it. And that comes from doing this kind of consciousness work and personal power work, right, which is really a really fun, exciting benefit. Wouldn't you say, Kimberly? It's just a really cool benefit, and it's kind of hard to explain until you really do the work. But people act differently around you, which is you know, they recognize you consciously or unconsciously as someone that's got something very special, unique, different. That there's a power to you, and they're drawn to you in the most wonderful way, right? And like weirdos veer away. It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Critics, skeptics, mean people, they will kind of veer away. I like that side benefit.
Yes, oh my gosh. Margaret, we do have some questions that have come in. So Joe has asked, you know, could I be angry at myself? And then there's Anita says, the past session was so powerful that I've realized how much anger I have held inside me about this person.
Yeah.
All the hatred and anger I held for 30 years has come out, and I feel it. How did I numb myself for so long? Do I heal it now that it's out in the open? Andrea's, what is the stress? What if the stress is the person in question is treating me with distance based on lies that they were told about me? Okay. And there's a bunch more there, so I don't know. Couple more there.
Yeah, and sometimes when we do that kind of a tapping, you have to not try to figure out what's going to change. You have to just do the tapping and see, right? People try to skip ahead and say, well, how's it going to be different? It's like, I don't know, but something will shift. There's going to be, you're going to be different. They are going to be different. Action that you will take will be more clear, more different, more congruent. When people set boundaries after doing that tapping, the boundary is more strong, more solid, more congruent. They're not wavering. We end up having the other thing that happens when people say, like, oh, my God, like, oh, I can't even believe, like, how different this person is. The next thing that comes out of their mouth is often, we had the most amazing conversation. That's like 90% of the time is the next sentence. We had the most amazing conversation. So something opened up and there was a respect and a conversation that changes everything. Okay, so I really want to get to the question of that Joe asked of, can I be angry at me? Because that's really important. But someone else said, Margaret, another Margaret from Fargo, who do I become when I get rid of all the vows that have ruined my life? Fabulous question. Who the hell knows? And you know what that's called? Consciousness. When you're like, I have no idea who I actually am, that will be your most conscious moment on the planet. Because all the rules tell us all the things, and it's our mind saying, oh, I know all this. I know who I am. I know this. I know that. When you are like, oh, my God, I have no idea who I'm going to become, that is called a moment of consciousness. And what your job is becomes very, very important. Your job now becomes every day I have to practice feeling who I am, not thinking, feeling what I'm drawn towards, what I want, what I'm passionate about. And when I first started doing this, I'd be like, I'm going to be sitting here for an hour because I have no idea what I like. I didn't even know that I didn't know that. What do I want to do right now? It's Sunday. Do I want to spend time with my family? Do I want to be alone? Do I want to go to the grocery store? I have no idea. I've operated from, like, compulsive doing. And, like, literally sit there for an hour and being like, I think I want to, like, really try to start to feel who you are. And I hope it takes a couple of years because that will be a fascinating journey to you, Margaret. And know you're going to be a different damn person every day. It's like, I don't know who I was yesterday, but I am different today, and I have different wants and needs, and I am like a roller coaster of interesting, curious things that come out of me every day, and I am just trying to live in the moment as best I can. So I don't know, but I hope you get to find out. Okay, let's see. Great question around, can I be angry at myself? Of course, Joe. Here's the difference. And if people who followed Abraham Hicks, this is a great thing to end on. People who followed Abraham Hicks will remember this, okay? When you go, sometimes when we do these past events, we switch over to, actually, I'm just mad at myself, okay? When you go from being angry at someone else, something feels unfair. And energy comes up through the system that feels like outrage, like, no, I deserved better, right? At the core of all anger is a sense of unfairness that says, that's not fair because I deserved better. It doesn't say, if it felt like I deserved it, then it feels fair and that no anger gets triggered. That's why when we have low self-esteem, think of it, a battered woman, for example, they never really get angry enough to leave because nothing feels unfair. It's like, no, I deserve this, okay? So when something feels unfair to you, directed at another person, it naturally triggers the fight or flight. Energy comes up. It triggers the fight part, not the flight, the fight part. Like, hey, this doesn't feel fair. And embedded in that sentence is this, I deserve better. Are there people who walk around like that 24/7 feeling all entitled? Yes. Are they irritating? Yes. Are they in defense? Yes. Are they unconscious? Yes. We're not turning you into that person. We're giving you a healthy dose of, hey, I actually deserve better, which is a raising of your voice to the universe saying, I'm now ready to honor that I deserve more and I want more and I will receive more. Because when we start to say I deserve better, usually we're willing to receive the better, right? It's like, and I think I should let myself have that. However, Joe from Chicago, the second you say, actually, it's all my fault. I should have known better. It's all my fault. All of that, the mind is now taking over with the judgment. So now you went up to your head, ran it through your rules, And you said, actually, I should have known better. It's all my fault. I'm never going to forgive that. Why should I? It doesn't make sense. I screwed up. And you take all of that energy and you shove it way down and you say, basically, and I deserve exactly what I got. And so anger at yourself is way more detrimental. And we don't move anger at ourselves. Oh, no, we hold it. We might go on a rant and tear at somebody else, at least tell our friends, what an idiot, I can't believe he did that, and move some of that energy. When we're angry at ourselves, oh, we hold that. That's a special little gift that we hold for ourselves, don't we? I'm going to sit at home with this for many a night, and I'm just going to tear myself in two with it. Should have known better, should have done better, could have done better, should have done better, should have known better. So when you go into the critic, which is when we get to the fourth chakra, right? There was a video on it, and boy, do we get into it in the Seven Levels program. What you're basically saying is, I don't deserve anything yet. I deserve exactly what I got because I haven't learned my lesson. So remember, the way that you tap on it is just like you would have seen in that fourth chakra video. You look at the event that you're angry at yourself for, and you tap. It takes longer because the mind repeating a sentence over and over and over, like I should have known better, will take 10 times longer to break because you so think you're right. You so think you're right. No one on the planet could tell you you're wrong. You're like, nope. They're like, you should forgive yourself. Yeah, no, you're an idiot. I know better. I should have known better. Like, I make that decision about myself. You don't know. I do. I should have known better. So we are so right about it. Nobody can touch us, and it's our secret thing. That's why in the program I say we're going to put on the table the thing that you don't put on the table in the Seven Levels program. So the way that you tap on it is really voicing that critical mind, which is ruthless. And what happens is what you may have noticed if you watch that video on the fourth chakra and you scroll down and read some of the 2,000 some odd comments, you'll see what happens. It is a sob fest because when that finally breaks, your heart cracks open, and people just start pouring tears at the computer screen. It makes people cry more than any other video, any other process, because their heart opens, and they suddenly feel the hurt and the sadness that they have been slaughtering themselves with. This, I should have known better. The lack of compassion cracks, and they suddenly feel compassion for themselves that they have withheld for themselves for 40-some-odd years, and tears just spray. So, dude, if you, I'm saying dude because it's a Joe, if you want to keep that because you're right about it, in this situation, I should be mad at myself, just know that what you are manifesting from that is always some level of punishment in your life. And a withholding of reward, which is kind of like a punishment, right? Because you don't deserve it yet. So this is some pretty big stuff for you to think over. Mull that one over and decide if you want to do that kind of a process and clear the I should have known better. Because if we just take a breath and think about things in the past that we haven't, you know, even, and I'll say this when I have a room full of people where, you know, there's no time or literally sometimes it's like a casual conversation. I don't know how I get drawn into these conversations. And we're not tapping. We're not getting into a process. It's not the right forum. But I'll say, let's just for a second think about it this way. You're thinking about something that you're still angry about yourself in the past. Did you suffer back then? oh, yeah, it was all these consequences. I lost my business. I did this. I did that. My children, blah, blah, blah. Did you suffer? Yes. Have you been suffering? Like, did you learn a lesson? Oh, yeah. Did it change anything? Yes. So do you still need the whippings on a daily basis? Like, have you paid enough yet? And that's where people go, oh. And sometimes, you know, inside, they're like, no, I haven't. Like, I'll feel that when I think about things that I do that to me. Unforgivable, right? And it's like people, and I'll think, I haven't learned my lesson enough yet, apparently, because I'm still not letting this go. Like, can't let that one go because it was so bad. And, I mean, literally, it will be something stupid, but I'm like, oh, no, so bad, so unforgivable that I can't let it go. And the difference for me now is that I'm so, like, it sounds so loud in my head that I'm so conscious of it that my jaw hangs open. I go, oh, my God, thank God I do this work. Thank God I have this base, because I would have held on to that for 6 years and felt nauseous about it every time I thought about it. Oh, why did I do that? Now, I see, it's there. It's like a three, and it's so loud and shocking in my head that my jaw hangs open, and I say to myself, really? Really? And I can jump right in and nip that in the bud. And I'll say, okay, that's what we want to go. Let's do the tapping. I'm an idiot. I should have known better. This is unforgivable. And it's short. It didn't take me down for 6 months. It took me down for 15 minutes. And then I'm back to my fabulous I deserve vibe, which I love to be in. I love the I deserve vibe. The I should have known better is a not only do I not deserve, but I deserve all the crappy crap I'm getting. So which vibe would you rather have? So, Joe, that is an incredible question. And it's so important to ask when we have lots of smart people on the line, because the smarter you are, oh, the worse you are at this. Your brain is your handicap here, because you're so smart, you know that you could have done it better. And you were so smart at a young age that you look back and say, I should have known better, and I was like five or something. So the smarter you are, the more you're handicapped here. So this is what I'm saying about amazing, even tapping people who literally have a blind spot around this, because you don't tap on something you're right about. I'm going to say that again for all of us tappers. You don't tap on things that you're right about. Like, why would I tap on that? I'm right. Of course I could have done better. I'm not tapping on that. That's not bad. That's just me being right. Yeah, I could have done better. And so it's like a blind spot. And if I didn't force people, because I've had a lot of extremely famous tapping people go through the seven levels, if I didn't make them work through this fourth chakra vow, they've been tapping 10 years. They've never seen it, never would have seen it. Right? Or especially the second chakra stuff. They're like, what? So that's why I'm so passionate about using this as a quantum leap forward in personal development work. And, you know, we're here to do a tapathon. We've done a lot of tapping. Oh, my God, it's been 2 hours, Kimberly. And I don't mean to do a sales pitch, but it is like a 60-day money-back guarantee. So if you're on the fence, there's really no issue. We just refund you if you don't love it. It's powerful personal development work. And I didn't say this when I first put it out, because I didn't have thousands of people had working through it, giving me feedback and watching them transform in these Q&A calls. And I do say it now. There is nothing on the planet that is like this program. And we're starting the first call on, you know, today's, oh, my God, it's Sunday. We're here together on a Sunday. On Friday, and so you have until the 13th at midnight, which is Monday evening, to buy the seven levels and jump in and be part of the group and start, you know, really clearing this stuff out and knowing that in a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, your whole energy and vibe is going to be different. Your whole energy and vibe is going to be different. So any final words from you, Kimberly? Any, like, quick things that comments people are saying, getting people, lots of people saying, thank you for the tapathon. Yes, if you order the digital, you get all the bonuses. There's no difference. Yep, someone's saying, do I get all the bonuses? All the bonuses are at, most of them are digital download anyway, but yes, you get all the bonuses with the amazing price of the digital download.
Yeah, and Michelle's asking about how much time commitment is recommended for each week of the program.
It's really self-serve, right? So it's kind of up to you, right? But what we recommend, because we're doing the five live Q&A calls, is for these first weeks, like to really, before the first call, if you can get through the first chakra audio, tap all the way through it. You don't have to get through the video, right? The video is supplemental. It's a different aspect, a different tapping set of aspects on each chakra. But definitely start with the audio and try to get through a class a week because that will keep you on track. Typically, the five calls tend to resonate around the first chakra, then the second chakra. Then we kind of stay on track. It's kind of interesting, and that's just from the questions people are asking. It probably, I would say, about an hour and a half a week because that's about how long the audios are. And, of course, you can flip open the Spiral On notebook and tap from there because it's all there. All the tapping scripts and everything are there, and it's written up so you can read it and understand it. And then the live Q&A calls about an hour. It's about an hour every week. And so Tracy, you know what? Tracy is asking a question about her friend. My family's freaking out. We can't hear Margaret. She's so adorable. Send an email to Kimberly, so support@margaretmlynch.com, and she'll help you out with that. Okay. So, yeah, so time commitment, Michelle, I would say, you know, not, and again, 90 minutes. And if you, you know, you can still come on the Q&A calls. If you didn't get to, you know, she said she has kind of a lot going on. If you did two classes in 1 week and you were on the second call, you'll be fine because it really is, it's at your pace. But we like you to try to stay on pace if possible because then I'm more assured that you're going to really work through the program, which is what I want. I don't want to just sell it. I want you to work through it. This is about bringing transformation. As Kimberly says, we are here to transform people's lives.
Yeah, and then we have some Tapping Into Wealth coaches on the line asking, you know, how if this the seven levels is recommended for this. So.
And we've talked about with some of the coaches. I mean, if someone is in my coach training program, what you're learning to do is be a coach, right? How to coach my material in the Tapping Into Wealth process. The seven levels is going to take you personally on a transformational journey. It's different than being in a coach training program, right? So it's really about you personally going through this process and doing some really deep work for yourself versus a training program where I'm teaching you how to work with a client very specifically. Why don't we end with a quick tapping round, I guess? Should we do that? I mean, I know we're at 2 hours, so if you have to jump off, jump off. I want to respect everyone's time. But
let's do that. I just wanted to answer Dennis real quick. The Q&A, the live Q&A calls are recorded, and those, you know, people that, you know, sign up for the program have access to all the live Q&A calls that are, if you can't be there live, if you work during that time, you'll have access to the recording.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, of course, there's the series of the five gold ones, which, you know, is extra stuff for you there. There's just a lot. There's a lot in there. Okay, so let's just end with some tapping. I know when we have a tapathon, people always want more tapping, more tapping, more tapping. And I do. Sometimes I ramble a little bit. Okay, ready? Okay, and so just kind of tune into your body. And you know, I'm going to go with money a little bit because this is about money. You know, we're using the chakras in this program specifically about money and wealth. So that is addressed in every chakra. It's like, how does this relate to money? Okay? So just kind of tune into your body. And we started out this whole thing around, you know, scarcity, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, which is such a great way to start. And so just kind of tune into your body around how you feel about money in your life right now, money and wealth. And let's just start tapping. This fear wired into my first chakra around money and wealth. Money is hard to earn. Wealth is elusive. And that creates fear and survival to the exact level that my family lived it. I honor my first chakra. And I'm in my body right now, in this present moment. I am safe on this planet. In this moment, I am safe. I am whole. I am a body and a spirit. I am a heart and a mind. As I come up to my second chakra, whoa, there's a lot going on that right there. I have all of these desires for what I want. I have hidden passions that I've shoved down. I don't even know what I want sometimes. My brain thinks I do. But in my second chakra, I have these big desires. And they don't sound good because they sound like this. I want pleasure and power and ease. I want to feel powerful. I want pleasure and abundance for me. At my second chakra, I'm really not that inclusive. It's a level of consciousness of true, raw wants and needs. And I have a lot of judgment about that. But just for this moment, I'm going to let that rise into me. So much energy in my second chakra. Desire, want, all my power that I want to feel in the most positive way. Desire, pleasure, want, passion. I'm just going to let that come up with a little less judgment than normal. And as it hits my third chakra, my action center, I feel an energy rise in me, an energy that is focused, that is more clear, with which I can shape with my willpower and take action. Take action on things I actually want. Not should do, should have, things that I truly want. At my third chakra, this rising energy gives me the courage to act, to focus my energy and get into action. And as that energy goes forward in my life and up through my system, it brings a new fire hose into my heart. My whole heart opens, and I feel in how much I love wanting things and feeling passionate and feeling powerful. I love that feeling, and how much I love my own third chakra, how I can get into action and do things. And people are like, wow, look at you go. Look at your energy. I love that. And I want to share even more of it with people. I want to share even more of it with people. I feel in my heart wider, bigger, more energy. And that comes up to my fifth chakra. and I start speaking a new truth about money. Because, yes, I have programming about scarcity, but I'm so excited to speak a new truth about what I want, what I think is possible, what I'm excited about, regardless if people think it's possible. I feel excitement bubbling up, joy, passion, focus, and energy, and it comes out of my mouth, and I'm speaking it. And in my sixth chakra, which is often spending its time criticizing, seeing the way things are wrong, I can open it up and visualize the things that I want and myself right in the middle of them, passionately, enthusiastically, in the middle of being and creating what I want, and the money is flowing. My sixth chakra can show me that, and it's now filled with energy. And then I come to the top of my head, where energy both enters and leaves. It's a two-way channel. And I remember, even if it's just for a second a day, it's powerful stuff. I remember that anything is possible, and I am so loved. I am so loved. I am so loved and held. I am so being guided. Thank you. And maybe I don't feel that all the time, but even just a second of it is awesome. I am so loved, so guided. The universe, God as I see it, wants me to feel everything, wants me to play with this energy called money, because it's mixed into all the being and doing and power on this planet. I love all my chakras. And I'm taking away from this moment a new clarity, because there are things that I really do want. Maybe I've been afraid to fully want them or hear them. But I'm taking away some clarity. There's something that I really want, and I don't want to wait. I don't want to be stuck. I'm ready to shift. And I'm letting this process shift me. And take a nice deep breath. Yay! I thought I would do a nice shift at the end. Whew, as much as we can do on a two-hour tapathon with answering questions and doing our best to read your questions and answer your questions. And thank you all for the amazing comments that are coming in. You don't have to go on Facebook. Facebook is just a membership site. If you want to be, what people do is they'll create a fake account with no information just to join the Facebook support group, but you don't have to. Let's see. Oh, someone said she meant that when I mentioned the book, How to Know God, it's sitting right on her shelf, brand new, unread. That's from Sybil. Guess what book I'm reading this week, she says. She's from Louisville. That's really cool. Hey, Margaret, listening with absolute fascination to the webinar. Yay! She's doing tapping on the matrix five aspects of myself. Oh, interesting. She found some more vows to share, more vows to clear. Awesome, awesome. Thank you for all the thanks. I'm not sure if we're going to have time to rebroadcast this because it's kind of a one-shot deal, actually, tap-a-thon, because it's, you know, the cart closes tomorrow. Shirley says, I feel like I'll never get through all of it, meaning her own work. Yes, you will. You're a work in progress. Just keep going. And if you start, whether you use tapping into wealth or tapping seven levels, tapping or not, doing consciousness work, absolutely you will continue to move forward. And you don't really want to get through it all because that usually means you're in heaven at that point. If someone has a question, Natasha, about becoming a practitioner or a coach in my certified coach for me, just email Kimberly, support@margaretmlynch.com, and just ask that question in the title so she can find you. She's getting a lot of emails right now, so make your subject line really, really clear. We'll help her out to know what you're looking for. Okay, everybody, we have got to wrap it up. Kimberly, thank you for being on with me for over 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness, it's been amazing, Margaret. Thank you so much. You are just such a rock star. And
you're welcome. You're welcome.
And tapping with Margaret, it always brings up something. Yay.
It does. Oh, it works for me. Sometimes I start crying from my own tapping, and I'm like, I got to do more tapping on this particular thing. But, oh, and just to say, a whole bunch of people have already stepped into the seven levels. So we already have an amazing group, and that's going to be on the Q&A call with us on Friday. So let's just honor that. Lots of people have already stepped in and are already in the seven levels tribe, and we are excited to meet you and be with you. And if you don't want to miss out and jump in with the group, do so now, because you'll have, I think it's tomorrow at midnight or something, to order the program. You'll be getting emails. We're hounding you with emails. I mean, it's horrifying. But that's what you got to do, because people will miss it otherwise. And then Kimberly gets hundreds of emails saying, I missed it. And so we do our best to remind you. Sorry that there's a lot of emails flying around, but we do want to start the program, and it's starting on Friday. So have a fabulous Sunday, everybody. Big love to you all, and we'll be with you, actually, most of you, on Friday in the First Life Q&A call. I can't wait. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.